Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but a leg run's grinding home from Fear Endless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron, threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite on the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from I'm Thunderstruck. El Monagon. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. It's great to be in your ears again on a Thursday night. We are previewing Group 3 Ori Star Day there at Flemington. It is the first Metro Day of the new season, so really looking forward to it. Obviously, congratulations to all the Premiership winners, Blake Shin, Kieran Maher, James McDonald and Chris Waller. No real surprises there, boys.
No. Linda Meech. Country Premiership.
Really?
I think so. Logan Bates won the Apprentice. And look at Nico laughing at me.
Logan's been really good. Logan and Tom Pebble are actually going pretty well.
Yeah, and Luke Cartwright's quite good too. He doesn't have the strike rate yet, but Luke Cartwright might be the best of them.
I think, they'll start to time. Slow down now anyway.
Yeah.
They've had their time the in the sun. The big step boys back are back. Team. But yeah, anyway. Take nothing away from them. They're all going okay. But
yeah. Most importantly, Benny's on TV.
I know.
So congratulations,
I'm on TV,
to Benny.
Mom.
Benny's on TV and he's smashing it.
Look at me, sort of stuff this week. He's been so well presented. He's hasn't made a fool of himself. I'm very proud. We are very proud. Bottom line,
no, thanks, we are. Guys.
It's been good so far. Hopefully,
haven't made a mistake yet.
The two best things about it is there's a whole room of Peter Jackson jackets in the studio, so you can just go in there and grab whatever you want. It's unreal, amazing.
Well, you get to take it home or what?
No, you just borrow it for the day and then you put it back. And I was getting worried about having to buy like 5 different new suits and different colors because I'm like, I don't want to wear the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Luckily, they've got that all sorted.
Yeah.
Unreal. And it's actually quite an intimate environment, as I was saying off camera. There's only like 4 of you in there. There's you know, three on the panel and one cameraman. It doesn't really feel like you're on TV. So it's been all right so far. The only bad thing is having to get your bloody makeup done.
Yeah.
That's something that you've always enjoyed, so let's not sugarcoat that.
Let's not beat around the bush here.
But like whenever we're at Warrnambool before we go out, Benny's always taking forever doing his hair and makeup. So don't let him think that this is something new to him. He loves makeup time, Benny.
Please.
He loves it.
What's been happening in your world?
No, not much. Just same old sort of stuff for me. Got a few lay-bins off the top if you want.
Yep.
Twitter, absolute cesspit. Live absolutely manhandled. She absolutely beat that squib to a pulp. I'm so proud of her.
She handled it well.
She did.
She handled it well.
Yeah, and he backpedaled quicker than he could
whack it. The biggest backpedal of all time.
She absolutely ate him up, so I was completely proud of her. But yeah, Twitter's just a cesspit. It's just nameless cowards, just all fucking Team Roo Tough behind the keyboard. Just, yeah, I say it all the time with people. You shouldn't be allowed to make a social media account without actually putting your own identification to it. It's not, you know.
You should have to verify it, you reckon? Like,
well, you should.
Account.
100% you should. Why should you be allowed to make it a social media account and not disclose who you are? In modern day life that we live in now, where online bullying and that sort of stuff is catastrophic for some people that experience that, I think more needs to be done in that space to eliminate this type of shit. Because I know, for one, none of the shit that I cop or anyone else cops on Twitter would happen to the degree that it does now if they actually had to put their name to it, because they're all cowards behind fake profiles. So that would eliminate that. And Fox Footy's in the lay bin as well. I listened to the football tonight before the coverage, and I nearly wanted to turn it off because this first name basis, no name. Nickname nonsense. Yeah. It's just woke. It's shit. It just takes away the joy of listening to it. Like, yeah, it's disgusting, really.
How can you not call Jonathan Brown Brownie?
Oh.
Like Jonathan, like what? Mark Howard. How can you call him Mark?
Hutto's going to be Anthony. Joey was Lee. It just makes you sick. This ick.
Rui. Yeah. Nick.
Good gear from Channel 7 when they displayed their commentators for the night. All nicknames.
Very good.
You know what? There's actually people that might watch Channel 7 more now that used to watch Fox, because that will be a deal breaker for some. Well, I haven't decided if it's going to be a deal breaker for me. I've never really been a Channel 7 operator, but I could easily be persuaded if this is the bullshit that Fox are going to dish up.
Yep. I was in at SEN this morning, and Milo said you won't leave him alone, trying to get him to come for a drink with you. And he's off the drink at the moment. Come on, Nico.
Well, there's
let a man do dry July.
There's a little bit of bullshit towards that, but we'll leave that. Milo will be listening. He knows he's in the wrong, so that's fine. But it's good to see that racing previews has taken over the racing world one week and one day at a time. So. But you just need to start picking up the chain, old son, because
he's been doing his bit.
Yeah,
Bot,
well,
do you want to talk us through?
Unless he's going
to
be in the
Herald Sun. You're doing a bit of riding at the moment.
I've been doing
a bit of riding.
I've been doing
hopefully
a bit of
that
riding.
Goes somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, I like riding.
So tell us
like,
about it. You're previewing races. You're talking about the races, and you're obviously giving your prices.
Yeah, I wrote a preview on Tuesday and Wednesday for the Ori Star, a runner by runner preview, and then I did a best bets one. So we'll talk about that, my best bets today, obviously. But I like riding. I like riding about racing. So,
you're better at riding than talking.
I 100%. I'm awful at talking. I'd say that I'm pretty good at riding.
The editing team at racing.com would be silly not to upload at least a few of your... pieces and put them up as articles.
But well, that's out of my hands.
I hope Zach and Bet365 don't get complacent just because they've caught one fish. Doesn't mean they've caught both fishes and they're resting on their laurels now. So one and dotted line has been signed, so now we just need to make number two.
Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe.
All right, let's get into some racing. Conditions look pretty clear over the next couple of days.
Very good.
Flemington. Which is good. It's still going to be chilly, top of 15 degrees, but hopefully it's nice and sunny. The rail is out 6 meters, I believe. And the first race...
10 meters at Flemington.
Oh, is it 10 meters, is it?
Yep.
Right. 10 meters. First race we're going to start in is race number one. Exit, top price of $2.10 currently. She's been well supported from Our Chief, $4. Crossbow, $4.20. Well, I thought was really unlucky last start and probably should have won. Who wants to go first here?
I think that Exit is a $2.19 chance, and I'll be on it at $2.50 and better. I loved what it did first up. I love the sectional strength. It wasn't like a squibby. It wasn't a squibby time. It was a building strong time. It's well bred. I think that it's a really, really nice horse. and I'm happy to be against the unlucky runner, Crossbow, last time. The market's already turned off it. I think that they'll sort of come for it a little bit more. I think 420 is probably about its right price, but I could see it. I could see the market shortening it up a bit. I think Our Chief is a little bit short off the out wide form. And another one I could have something small in is Finistella, who was four wide the entire way on debut and kept coming. And that they ran really quick time there. And I think it'll lead here. So Finistella and Exit are the two horses that I'll be aiming my betting around on Saturday. $2.50 is the price I want for Exit, and I could back Finistella now, but I won't. I'll wait for the Betfair starting price, I think.
Great. Nico, are you singing from the same hymn book?
Yeah, I was really taken by Exit's win on resumption this campaign. I think she's in for a really, really good preparation, and I think the lofty heights of a 1,000 guineas, which is what they've got in mind, is well within her grasp. I'm really excited to see where she can get to this preparation. Shinny on from barrier one can obviously get her to settle a little further forward if need be. It's a small field anyway, so she's not going to be too far away. But she's a very exciting prospect heading into her 3-year-old season, and I think she's definitely better than the horses she races against on Saturday. And I think she's up there with one of the better fillies in Melbourne.
Huge. So she needed to pick up where he left off from race 3. Benchmark 74 over 1,200 metres de Bergerac. They've gone whack with Thor's Hammer. $4.60 into $3.30 with the straight track form. Last start second, obviously, to a good one in Lafraca. Epic Proportions won really nicely. $5.50 last start on the Wednesday at the Kenzo. Al Kuva, extremely unlucky. Never got a run last time. $12 in the Shaper, $13. Nico, you're betting.
Well, I'm still on the floor that this horse somehow got beat last time, but I'm going to the well again. Seems like I'm not the only one sticking with, because he's been absolutely off the map. I think he's a bit better than this grade. I think getting the 2 kilos off is definitely going to help. I think he's probably the best horse in this race, and that's going to carry him a long way. He's ticked the soft track box if we happen to get a little bit of rain, which I don't think we're going to. Good track's fine. I think he'll be awfully hard to beat, de Bergerac. Starting to get a little thin now. Hopefully it might get back out of touch, but
I reckon it will.
Yeah, I thought you probably wanted to take 4+ just because big field, anything can happen, but I think it's definitely on top, but it's getting a bit thin now.
Yep. I reckon Al Kuva just has to improve. Obviously, last night didn't get a crack at them, and if it keeps drifting, which it might not because Blake Shin is on, but I thought if it gets to $15, I'll probably have something on it, but the Bergerac, I can't really knock it. Bot, any quick thoughts?
Al Kuva's a little bit interesting. Obviously, it was unsuited last time. Shame is another one with Ethan Brown going on. He gets the blinkers on. Again, fourth up. And Ray Cokie is another one. This horse has obviously got issues, but its number first up puts it, like, its form full stop. Like, it ran a really nice race. It won a Group 3 race here at Caulfield. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a really nice horse, just has issues. If it can get it right on Saturday, it's a massive price at 20-1. So, okay, Ray Cokie's one to keep an eye on, see what the market does with it.
All right, race 4, 1,100 metre benchmark, 84. Lose some, win more. I don't think that's how the tagline goes, but if you backed this horse last start, you would have been winning more than you lost if you followed Nico in. $4.60, I reckon. Now $3.50. You've got to carry a bit of weight, but that last start rating is very good. Documentary is $3.80. South of India, $7. Court of Glory, seen some support, $7.50. And Eye of the Fire, $8.
All that weight is actually all the punters' cash just piling in again.
So you're betting again, obviously?
Oh, absolutely. There's people out there that want to say that documentary was unlucky. Yeah, that's fair enough. But I think this horse is probably a 1,200 meter horse, probably looking to back it next start, maybe around Mooney Valley or something like that. I think lose some, win more. Proven track specialist. Horses that stay in form down the straight usually maintain that. Zara goes on. That's not definitely no negative. And, yeah, I think he'll be extremely hard to beat. Lose some, win more.
Yep, no knocks from me, but no bets just right now. Will?
Documentary should be favoured, I thought. I like what it did first up, but I think it'll improve over a little bit further. I don't think it's a 1,000-meter horse. Lose some, win more goes up in the weight significantly. I don't think that suits him. He's a turn-of-foot horse and, you know, the more weight isn't exactly what he wants, I wouldn't have thought. Veloce Caro is another one that is interesting to me because it didn't come up last preparation, but the preparation before that, this time last year, he was airborne. He was winning everything just about. So first up here, he's a little bit interesting. The market isn't interested at the moment, but we'll see what the market does really late. But at this point, documentaries are bet at $3.80.
Great. We'll move on to race five then. This is a very interesting race. You can take out a key scratching of Juju Kibo, who goes to Sydney. Federer is now top price of $2.50, the Grand Slam champion. Aztec State is $6, Maisie $6.50, Euphoric $12, and Paradise Storm $14. I think Bot and I align here, but I'll quickly take the new ball here for the first time. I'm backing both Federer and Aztec State, and I already have. I backed both of them before scratchings, before the scratching, and I was still able to get $3.30 for Federer, and I've got $6 Aztec State. Once the deductions came out of that Aztec State bet, I cashed it out, lost a little bit on that, and then just took $6 again. So after that scratching, the market really has gone for Federer. I thought it was awesome last start. 1,800 metres at Randwick. That was against the pattern of the day coming down the outside. A lot of the horses were winning up on that fence. Still ran to a weight for age rating of just over 92. So adjusted to 56.5 kilos, that has him well on top in terms of recent performances in this field. Gets a nice map from Barrier 2 and, you know, he's by done deal out of Jamaica. I think he's just been looking for 2,000 metres this whole time. So he's probably on top for me, but Aztec State at the current quote is the bet. He's the value. Third up 2,000 metres. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. He was third up 2,000 metres last preparation. He won at Caulfield. And then fifth up, he won 2,000 metres at Flemington again. The scary thing is he's drawn barrier 12 and he's got a 3 kilo claiming apprentice, but isn't yet again. Great first up win. Second up a little bit flat, but just got way too far back off, you know, that unsuitable race shape and looks set to peak here. So they're just a clear one too. Will?
Mm. Yeah, like I wrote in the little bot's best thing that I wrote.
Love it.
I put out like at $4 and $6 at the bracket bet that if you back them both for the same amount, that it averages out till about $2.40 for the pair of them. And my rated price for the both of them combined was about $1.60. So that's a massive edge. Obviously, the scratchings are going to affect that, but I thought that, you know, I think you can probably still back the two of them, and that's fine. You know, obviously you have to have a bit more on Federer now, but I think Aztec State's a big price at the moment as well. I love what he's done. He's got a big weight, and obviously the Tasmanian apprentice is not necessarily ideal, but he's shown talent. I think I've seen a bit of him, and he's quite a talented rider. So Aztec State, I backed last start, and I'll back him again. And Federer is a talented horse and obviously well-bred. They'll both be good results for me. So I'm really keen on the both of them. And I think it's a two-horse race, really. So I'm really keen on both of those.
Yeah. Just quickly on this apprentice, going at 18% last 50 rides, and he's beating the market. In terms of his wins to expected. So he's going quite well.
Yeah, he's Tasmanian. he's quite good. I've seen a bit of him. He rides well. He's quite strong. So, yeah.
Sorry to all the Tasmanians. I'm mates with a few. It's all good.
Anyway, yeah, we'll back him. We'll back him on Saturday.
Back him and whack him. Race 6 is the first leg of the Quaddie. Benchmark 100 over 1,410 metres. Why is it 1,410? Well, when the rail is out, the distance extends a little bit. Zoo Sensation, top price of $3.20. Cafe Millennium, the big slug, $4.60. Greenfly, $7. Munamek, $8.50. Run, Harry, Run, should go forward here and provide a bit of speed, $9. And Fortunate Kiss, $9.50. Will, Zoo Sensation, it's a horse we both want to back. How do you see this map working out? Because we want Jamie to be positive early, don't we?
Yeah, she'll be positive and she'll land the 1-1 here. Running by and Run, Harry, Run will go forward. And I think Jamie Malum will just sort of float forward and find the 1-1, and the main dangers will be pretty much last, and she'll give a kick on the corner, and Cafe Millennium want to make the main dangers of the market, want to solidly run mile. This will be a sedate 1,400 metres, and Zoo Sensation will have too much pace for them, and I think it'll win. So it's the best bet of the day. I'm really keen on it. I took $4.20 and $4, and I think $3.10 is even probably backable too if you want to back it now, if you haven't already. Really great bet. I love the way it ticks boxes for me, and the way the map sets up for it as well. It's just gone to a new level, this preparation and fourth up. I don't think that, like, there's no reason for it to regress on its figures. And if anything, I can see it improving. So if it holds, or if it maintains its level, it improves, it wins. If it regresses, it can still win. And I don't see it happening. So Zoo Sensation is the best of the day.
Yeah, I missed $4.20, but I took $3.80. I'm still really comfortable with that bet. Obviously been smashed since. Two back, the win just took me by surprise a little bit, but then last start really rubber stamped itself, that exactly what Bod is saying. It has really gone to another level the last couple. Beat a horse called El Rocco easily. El Rocco has since come out, franked that form. Both of the ratings are super, and I feel like if Jamie Malum can just get that first half of the race right, then they might struggle to beat it. I really think this horse, if it stays up and it stays in this sort of form, then it could be a real flyer in a race like the Rupert Clark at $26, whatever it is. I just think this looks like such a suitable race yet again. So, yep, I'm keen. I'm happy to be on, and I wouldn't be surprised if it starts sort of $2.80 even. Nico, anything? I'm happy to move on to the next. All right. Let's move on to the feature. It is the Ori Star Handicap Group 3, 1,200 metres. Are we saying this is the first group race of the season? I reckon it would be.
Yes.
Splashback, $2.60. Favourite from King of Rasu, $4.80. Marble 9 is out to $6, despite having won 3 in a row. Got to carry the 59.5 kilos. Market probably factoring that in a little bit. Miss Aria, $13. So is She Dances. And Bossy Nick, I don't know if that rings true to our man on the panel, is $16.
Give it a spell.
Who wants to go first?
Geez, I did a good job of pricing this race up.
almost like they waited and they saw your price, and that's what they went
It's
with.
Almost like you shouldn't have posted it.
Yeah. Or Jesus, you should have had it a few rolls higher, one of the two.
I was certain King of Russo was going to go up $6, $7, and I was going to have at least something on, but now I'm not.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those races where if you price it up like it really off, then you've got no idea because there's the form so exposed. So
Saturday is not unreal, just quietly, because my arch nemesis is back.
Who's your arch nemesis?
Me?
Who's riding King of Russo?
Oh,
Mickey D.
MD.
Fuck, mate.
Thought you loved MD.
Yeah.
Maybe when you were 15. Love him.
Anyway, I think Splashback is simply the best horse in this race. I think she's the only horse in this race that can go and win better races than this. I think if they go fast, which they don't often do, she'll be suited. If they go slow, her turn of foot will monster them. So I think whichever way you cut the race up, I think she's your winner. Yeah. Horses don't do what she's done her last two unless you're very, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she finally might be coming into her own. She's obviously been a horse that's had her fair share of little niggles as a younger mare. But yeah, I think the cliche, the world is her oyster, is definitely upon her this spring. So very interesting to see how lofty their ambitions are with her. But yeah, she looks very, very exciting, and I think she'll put them up. I think she'll pick them up and put them down on Saturday.
Yeah, and the great thing as a mare is she's got so many options. Like, she could go to Sydney and race in, you know, like a Coolmore Classic, one of those mares-only races. She can go to a Rupert Clark down on...
Her only issue is she hasn't really seen a wet track, so whether that plays a part into it.
Yeah, well, she might not need to see one in the spring. She could just stay in Melbourne if it's wet up there or vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely,
yeah. Botta, as Nico said, this was an amazing win last start, and you don't do that if you're not a good horse. Tell us about the sectionals. Her sectional strength in her past two starts.
Yeah, she finished about 7.7 lengths above the all average benchmark first up, and I think it's unreasonable to use any other data points with her from any other point in her career other than this preparation, because that was when Graeme Begg got like a full preparation with her and got to prepare her properly by himself. And then last start, obviously it was just mental what she was able to do. She was held up and finished off nine lengths above the all average benchmark the last 600 meters. It was just, you know, it was one of those wins where you just, I thought she was gone. I didn't think she could possibly win where she was. It was an awful ride by Tom Preble, but she got him out of it. No offense, Tom, but that was a shocker.
Is that the only knock here, using an apprentice when you can't have the claim?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the only knock. It's I think if they go slow, I think her turn of foot will monster them. Because I think she's got a turn of foot. It's just incredible. Yeah. If she can be two lengths off the speed where King of Russo is, and the pace is sedate, she will absolutely monster them. If they run along, then that might test her a little bit, might sort of overexert, because I think she probably at heart is a 1400 meter horse. So King of Russo's best chance is to really run them along and run the sprint out of her, I think. But I'm not sure they'll quite do that. So I think he's the main danger to her. Marble Nine's been a revelation this spring, this winter, sorry. He's been awesome, but he's found his level, and I don't think he'll improve off that. He goes up in the weights, and it's hard to see him finding a new level. But he has to be in the market, so he's about a $7.60 chance with me, thereabouts, anyway.
Yep. Yeah, my only knock is exactly what we highlighted. If Marble Nine and King of Russo go fast out in front, and she's just sort of coming back to 1,200 metres from 1,400 metres, maybe her wheels are spinning a little bit if those front runners just take that sprint out of her legs. But if they sit up, if they go even, then I don't think it's going to matter. And she's going to be my best bet of the day at Flemington, at least. So, yeah, ooh, I'll make a line of three, and I'm happy to be...
Yeah, I want to back her at 2-1. $3.
$3.
$3.
2-1 in the old. All right, race 8, 1,600 meter benchmark, 84. This is a painful race, bot. Just give us a winner.
Far Flung, I think, is too big.
Great. 850, top price. Happy?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, that's Flemington done and dusted, I believe. Nothing in the last. Looks another hard race. Let's go around the grounds. Nico, give us your interstate set and maybe some Sunday jumps.
No worries at all. Okay, we're going to start with, we'll go to New Zealand first.
What are we doing in New Zealand?
Well, there's a
11:30 a.m.
Pulse. There's a great clash in New Zealand on Saturday. This is the final lead up to the Grand National or the Great New Zealand Steeplechase or whatever they've changed the name to over there. Their up and coming superstar jumper Jesco faces the heavyweight superstar, I guess you'd say, West Coast, who's been their champion jumper the last handful of years. Jesco's a weighted certainty in this race on Saturday. He gets 7 kilos off West Coast. They opened slightly better than even money. That's been snapped up. Benny and I fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. So at $1.55, I think you can sort of only play him through your multiples. I don't foresee him getting back out a little bit. There's a few Sharpies on him now, and I think he probably could even start closer to like $1.35. You can run him through your multiples. We'll stay on the jumps train. We'll go to Sunday at Sandown. Obviously, the first, it's just going to be a masterclass from Stern Idol. I think $1.12 is probably overs. I think he'll start probably $1.03 or $1.04. Sad that the fields are falling away just because he's that much better than them. But you never get sick of seeing a good horse be a good horse. I think I might even go out and see the big boy on Sunday. And I think the Grand National Race 4 is probably one of the better jumps races I've seen in some time. The Cunning Fox has taken all before him this preparation. I think he clearly deserves favouritism. I think there's holes in the market being Affluential. I think he was probably a bit blessed last time. I don't know if he would have won had the fall not occurred, but I guess we'll never know. I'm still more than happy to take him on. I don't think he's going as well, albeit he won last start. The Mighty Spar has been a great horse to us this preparation, but I'm also happy to take him on. He's back to hurdles, and I don't think he's probably of the class of these horses, especially over the smaller obstacles. Loft can improve back onto better ground, but I don't know if he's better than his stablemate Highland Blaze, who's my equal selection. I think he should be second favourite.
Good was his win last
start? He was unbelievable last start, and I think Loft was, even though it was a touch wetter than Loft probably would have liked, I think it's more of an advantage to Highland Blaze than Loft getting to Sandown, getting to 4,200 metres on a big track. I think the way the market's set up, we've been given the opportunity to back the Cunning Fox and Highland Blaze, or Highland Blaze and have the Cunning Fox for that lesser result, and I think it's a great way to play the race. You can save Loft that way in Kleiner. I wouldn't be shocked if he was to bounce back into form, but I'm sort of a bit sick of Loft, to be honest. I think there's other horses here that are better than him, and he needs a lot to go right in his races, Loft, and he still didn't jump great last start. He just got beat by a freakish performance and nearly got away with it. So, yeah, you could probably have the mug multi. You could take the horse in New Zealand into Stern Idol for a bit more extra juice into these two. That's probably what I'm going to do. I think it's a great day's racing on Saturday and Sunday over the jumps across the ditch and here. And, I think I might head out on Sunday to watch it. But I've got one more for you on Saturday. Another one of my, well-liked horses. Looks like he's going to have a kill, providing the track isn't too wet. Soft 7 is the rating at the moment at Murray Bridge. Number 4 Cash. He's
race six.
Number 4 Cash. He's a very, very exciting horse. I think he's a group class colt racing in a benchmark 64 on a Saturday. And if he's ready to go, he'll win. So if they run him on the track, whatever that may be, I'm happy to be with him. But I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they wait another week and have a slightly better surface coming off a little niggle. But yeah, he's a very exciting horse, and I expect big things for him this campaign.
That is a shocking race.
It's ridiculous for a horse that's like got actual ability against horses that are yuck, and they're betting $3. Like if he runs, he could be the best bet on Saturday. That's $3, like far out.
Like War Party has some decent stuff on its page, but it's been sold. Like who that used to be with?
Nichols had it.
Beetroot? Nichols.
Yeah.
Used to be with Nichols.
Yeah, right. It's done some decent things, but yeah.
What are you talking about? Which race?
Race Cash. Six, my boy Murray Cash Ridge. Is back.
Cash, to get the cash.
Remember Cash, the Snitzel colt that won at Mooney Valley?
Yeah.
He had a little injury. I think he had some sort of...
Its debut rating is already just about as good as most of these go.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right. I've got a couple. Tomorrow night, we're getting the Aussie flags out at Goodwood, and we're jumping back on the Azfura train. Top price of $3 at Bet365. They're actually betting the top price quite easily right now, so jump on. Backer, first up at Royal Ascot, she just blew out of condition late, and you can see that condition drop off in that final sort of 200 metres as they climbed up the hill. She just wasn't ready. The comms from Henry Dwyer was that she probably wasn't going to be ready. She missed her flight. She was first up there. We know when she won the Kingstown last year, she already had a run under the belt at Haydock, and she improved significantly into that second up performance. I think she's going to do that again here. And this is actually a weaker race than the one she faced last year when she was beaten by Big Evs. She was a moral beaten that day as well. She sort of got hip and shouldered about 200 out, and O'Sheen probably just fell asleep at the wheel and waited a little bit too long to hit the detonator. So I think she bumps into a very weak field. And if you listen to Henry during the week, his quote was, "I'd be disappointed if she didn't win." So there's definitely some stable confidence there, and I'm jumping back on Azfura. 1,000 metres around Goodwood, looks very suitable. And then one of my other better bets for the entire day, I don't know how they opened $3.60 for this horse, but race 9 at Eagle Farm, number 13, Paray. I know he's got his convictions, but he was only beaten a half length behind Marble 9 last start, who is a dead set chance in the Group 3 Ori Star, won 3 in a row. Obviously, Godolphin going not out of business, but they've opted for a new training plan. James Cummings is going to Hong Kong. And they've sort of auctioned their horses off, not literally, but they've given their horses away to other trainers. And Paray has landed with Tony Golan. I dead set think the fact that this horse isn't with James Cummings, being ridden by a popular jockey and not in the Blue Silks, is the reason why it went up longer than it should have. Still $2.70 now. I think it's still a good price. It's one run at Eagle Farm. I think it carried James McDonald, and it was one of the biggest certainty beats of the entire year. So, yeah, I'm keen there. He's already fit. It's not like he's first up. And Angie Jones is going all right. So, yeah, very keen. Other than that, Belmont, I might have some stuff on the 6 day.
Schmoove Mover is the only one over there.
Schmoove Mover, race 7, yeah, interesting. I don't know if she's better at 1,000, 1,100 than 1,200.
It's worth noting that they've gone from Belmont to Pinjarra Scarpside. That's not ideal.
Yeah, so that decision was made.
Is this track today fucked again?
No, it was a weather-made decision.
Yeah, that's sus.
It's very sus.
Yeah, well, if your track's fine and can handle it, why are you moving the meeting? They're fair dinkum.
This decision was made today.
If they're making a couple of hours ago. If they're making these things premature, well...
Yeah. Trouble. Yeah, Schmoove Mover looks one of the horses to beat for the day, but I just... I'd be more keen if it was 1,100.
Yeah.
But anything around the grounds?
Nah, nothing for me.
All right. Let's get our podcast multi going.
I'll take Zoo Sensation.
All right. $3.20. Lock it in.
What are you going to go, Benny?
Is your mob best price, Ben? $3.20.
Yes, we are.
Oh shit, we are.
I'll have that's exactly right. We
taking your money.
We being three.
So
I'll have Splashback.
I'll just bite my tongue there. Actually, you'll have Splashback.
Yeah.
I've got two options.
Exit.
It's between. Nah, it's not Exit. It's between Azfura and Paray.
Two mares at their best is miles better than their field, but they can easily dig their little toes in and scratch their nail polish.
I'm going Azfura. O'Sheen to get the cash on Friday night. That's just past midnight. If it loses, that gives you so much time to just reload the cannon anyway. So instead of relying on Paray at the end of the day at Eagle Farm to get the job done for us, let's go first leg Azfura. I'm happy with that.
Love it.
All right. A couple questions. Let me just open up Twitter. Yeah, there's probably more than normal. Sorry, boys. At least we're going all right for time. All right. Ishan Akash, why do we spell the word Q and not just use the letter Q?
What? This is a fucking question.
Nick McGuire's fan page. Is it just me, or does horse racing feel like the only sport where it's totally normal to slap someone's butt to make them go faster?
Unreal question.
One of his better ones.
Yeah. Even Nico laughed at that one. Even Nico got a smile.
The football.
bullshit. That's a smirk.
Fucking dumb question.
He's
your biggest fan.
Yeah.
All right, Roxas FC, Kappa 39, a race 3 value. Bot, any thoughts on the cappuccino?
No, not for me.
All right, Marble 9, value pick of the week in race 7 at $5.50, question mark.
No, I'm against it, mate.
Bot's against it, but I can see why some people would want it. Race 3, Capricorn. Oh, no, not race 3. Question 3, Capricorn Star, Smoky in the last. Just throwing out horses.
I haven't even got to the last race yet, mate. So apologies, but I'll get back to you.
And he's even stalked my Play HQ footy page.
I saw that. That was brilliant.
With Big Kaluts headed for his alleged 300th game this week, according to Play HQ.
The big 300.
Will the VFL, WFNL, and EDFL band together to give him a life membership to the Hall of Hardball Gets? Yeah.
No.
I don't get many hardball gets. I get lots of handball receives, so maybe that Hall of Fame instead. But, yeah, it is my 300th game, so we're actually playing top of the ladder where are we? So
you're going to get smashed.
wish us luck, but, yeah, we'll see what happens. Average racing enough with Benny debuting. I'm not going to read that part out. With Benny debuting a racing.com and SEN track this week and Nico giving everyone's lawns the short back and sides, does this mean Bot gives us a day in the life of the unemployed and how he will attack the spring for the battlers?
Who said that?
I am not unemployed.
Who said that?
Average racing enough. He's employed, but His freelance journalism is free to a good home if you want to buy it. Chris DeCasta, a few questions. What's the best pod-related moment of the season and why is it Bot copying it from Willow?
Shut up.
Probably is that. Some of Nico's bakes have been good as well. This is a good question. Best jumps jockey outside the Professor?
Will Gordon, I'd say. Would you agree, Nico?
Yeah, well, of currently riding, probably.
Especially on Enchanting all that time.
Why do they call him Flash Gordon?
I don't know. No idea. It would have been Kuru. I'm disappointed he retired because he was clearly second.
It's like a character off a movie or something, isn't it?
Yeah, Flash Gordon's a character off a movie.
Yeah, right.
But they talk about it in Ted. You know the movie Ted with the little teddy bear?
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like that would have been your childhood, like trying to get a little stuffed toy to be meant to get.
Fuck off.
Why shouldn't I put all the holiday funds on Via in the Wink Stakes at 2-1? No, that's not the race to back her, mate.
It's a Turnbull, isn't it?
She'll get beat in the wings.
Yeah, 1,400 metres first up. She could be spotting them six lengths. There's better bets. There's better $3 bets than that. Average racing enough. Also, Justice for Futures bets. What an absolute schmozzle they are. Single figures for horses who have won a midweek or similar. It's a joke. The current landscape's a joke. We all know it's a joke. So we're just going to have to try and make money in other ways. But yeah, King Zephyr's like $7 in a Rupert Clark. He's like a, got beaten at what? Benchmark 90 last start?
Yeah.
That's insane. Cool.
Roxas FC, I've got a room available for rent. Is the bot considering moving out of his mum's basement?
I'm like, I'm not, but we all live at home, so I don't know why I'm copping.
All three of us still live at home. You're the topic of discussion tonight.
Yeah, well, I always am. That's understandable, but anyway.
Yeah, we do all live at home. Bailey Gray, thoughts, feelings of a few roughies winning lately on soft tracks, and the market is getting it wrong as well. There's a lot of horses in the market not running to market expectation.
Mate, the amount of massive, massive firmers I've backed that have gone just awful recently is just fucking untoward, and it's pissing me off. And
I was listening to this on Nick Ashman's and Jules Valance's podcast, and they were just saying the market is nowhere near as efficient as it used to be.
Yeah, well, there's less people involved in what sets the final market, and the less amount of people there are setting the final odds is the, you know, it makes it less efficient, I guess. So the more people, more bigger people, more efficient people betting, then anyway, yes, I'm just whinging, but yes, I agree, especially with tracks as well, especially through winter. But it evens itself out.
Mitch, disgusting last week in WA. Yorga Pride got up, but Supernatural disappointing. So now trapped. Three I like this week. Some without odds yet. If you boys had a look in WA, minus Bot laying anything he's picked.
Oh, fuck you, mate.
He likes Sensational, Shmoove Mover, and Terra Tiff. I reckon all three of these are ridden by Pikey. So we've got another Pikey fan in Mitch. Yeah, Supernatural was a little bit disappointing. Got beat by The Only Danger in Sunny something. And what was it? Arcadia Park beat
Fancy Red.
So the two dangers did beat the more shorter price favorite, so it wasn't the most shocking result. But I'll start with Ryan's first question. Ryan Patton, he's got three. One for each of us. Nico, would you describe yourself as an Essendon fan with a gambling problem or a gambling fan with an Essendon problem?
It's definitely not a gambling problem. It's just a fucking Essendon plague my life. So you can make it that one you will.
Yeah. Ben, which filly has the more promising future, Lady Shenandoah or Olivia?
Oh, that's great.
Answer this question with lots of care.
Is Liv still a filly?
You could be in trouble if you're
still a filly.
Is she still a filly? I wouldn't consider myself still a colt.
You've been gelded a long time ago, son.
I don't know.
Anyway, next question.
And three, Bot. Why so price sensitive when having a bet? Bot be like, I have this mark horse mark $3.35. It's currently $3.30, so I can't be taking them odds. I hope for a drift on race day. Winning's winning, as Dom Toretto says.
It doesn't work like that. You got to take the best odds.
Yeah, Bot's a strange cat, punters.
So are you like, you know, hard
sold on price sensitive?
Yeah.
Of course. I have to be price sensitive. The price is the entire game.
Yeah. But do you sometimes like kick yourself when
just want
you
know, a horse
is like 20, no. 20 cents under what you priced it and you didn't back it and it wins? You don't get too shitty?
No, not at all. Never.
Fair enough. I would, but that's just me.
Never.
Casual call out. Have you asked Terry Bailey to be a special guest on the pod yet, Benny? Would be the highest rating pod of the year?
We should.
Well, I'm meeting the great man next Tuesday.
I'm so jealous.
Maybe that'll come up. Lucas Greenwood, Ray Kirky race 3 overs ?
Yeah, I already replied to that. It's got issues, but yes, I thought so.
All right. And then just a couple Instagram questions. Oh, shit. Because I put the story up late last night, it's not there, so I'm going to have to go through the archive. I knew I'd forget being so busy today, so that's why I put the story up yesterday. All right, there's only a couple here. Ash Sutton, late. Last James Cummings horse has run. How much are we allowed to cry? he'll have horses.
He'll be back
in Hong Kong. Mate, just jump on the Hong Kong train. It'll be the most profitable decision you ever make. Stuart Frenchy. Stu would like a detailed breakdown of who wins race 8 Melbourne. Thank you. I think this is because it's a bonus bet back race. Also, is Ben... he said, is Ben the most handsome man ever? I vote yes. Gym sessions are... ... Stu's been watching me at the gym while he's doing his step-up machine. It's a little bit...
He's been watching you in the closet, I think.
Yeah. Race 8, who do you like? Far Flung. Right, there you go. Coop Seren, got a couple. Would you agree that racing previews are all conquering?
Yes.
Yep. What?
We're taking over. Ben, how's week one with Bet365 been? It's been great. It's been a little bit of a baptism of fire, but at the end of the day, I'm just reading out odds and joining in a bit of discussion. It's exactly what I've been doing here for 3 or 4 years. It's just the fact that there's a couple lights and a camera pointing in my face. It's a little bit nerve-wracking, but yeah, I'll get used to it. It's been really good. I think the mistake I made on the first day is I did way too much form, and I just spent so long tearing my hair out doing the form, and I'm not the form person in the studio. They've got a form person, they've got a host. I'm just reading out the odds and giving a little bit, but I think I can sort of save some of my time, but by not spending hours and hours doing form for sale when I'm not going to use it all. Have you got any exciting guests lined up for the spring? Was the last one from Coops.
There's a few we can't disclose yet.
Right. Why not?
Great.
Because they're not fucking locked in.
It's just a fucking podcast.
I'm not saying who's. Yeah, there's a handful on the list, but they're not booked in yet. So I'm not saying it.
That's Nico's job.
Oh well, you both are going to subcontract and help me out a bit this time because you've got avenues to make my life easier. So, but yeah, there's a few on the list.
Yeah, we've done remarkably well to only be going for 50 minutes. I don't know how we've done that. We've lots of questions, but anyway,
especially with jumps.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Crazy. Mine was done.
What up, Nico? Yeah, well, for once, bullshit. You didn't talk for 10 minutes. It was good.
That was the difference, I think.
Yeah, that was definitely the difference. Anyway, let's wrap it up there. The shorter, the better. Hopefully we can, be a little bit punchier and speedier this spring. Thanks, guys.